You forgot to tell everyone what tonight's episode is about. You are now tuned in to episode 3, Just Virtuous Women. We came in all different faces, shapes, sizes, walks of life. We have one thing in common. We are women of virtue, righteously having high moral standards. Oh no, my darling, we don't claim to be higher in standard than anyone, but for ourselves, our lives, we choose to be righteous, good, pure, raw soul sisters, lacking perfection. We have a special guest, well, much more than special, a phenomenal guest, one of my soul sisters. We grew up together. We went to elementary school together. Oh my gosh, everybody wanted to be like her. Everybody loved her. Everybody thought she was so smart, which she really is. And she was so pretty. My friend Megan from Louisiana, Lake Charles, Louisiana, she is here with me this weekend. She is in LA doing big things, interviewing for, can I tell them what you're interviewing for? You want the people to know? Well, how about you tell them what you're interviewing for?
Hey everyone, I'm in LA interviewing for pediatric residency in the dental field.
And what was your, so tell about your background, because some people may not know what the dental field, I mean, people know what dental field is, but what'd you go to school for, undergrad? What'd you do after that? Tell us about that part of your journey.
So yeah, definitely grew up in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Went to McNeese State University for a bachelor's in biology. And then I went to dental school, so currently a general dentist, but applying for pediatric dental residency, which is just specializing and working with just kids and focusing on their dental needs.
Awesome, awesome. That's super dope. So look, wherever she ends up, we got to bring our kids to see her. We coming through wherever she is. So far, are you liking the vibe here? How you feeling about LA?
LA is cool. There's a lot of culture here. I've had like the most random experiences with the Uber rides that I've had here, but a lot of culture, a lot of art stuff. Yeah, it's definitely nice. I've been enjoying myself.
Dope. So you could see yourself living here?
I could. The weather is good. Mm-hmm. Currently living in the Midwest now, so we're in like the 30s, and yeah, this is definitely better than that.
right. Oh my gosh. We should pray for peace and blessings that Megan gets this position in LA. I guess that's the goal. I mean, you know, it is gonna come as it is. So tonight, you know, the episode is titled Just Virtuous Women. So of course I have a virtuous sister with me here tonight on the podcast to bless you, our loved one. We're gonna jump into what a virtuous woman is to us personally, and if we are virtuous women. I'm gonna pass the floor over to Megan, since she's my special guest tonight. First, we want to know, are you a virtuous woman?
I consider myself a virtuous woman.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. All righty, peace to you, sister. All right, so you consider yourself a virtuous woman. So what is a virtuous woman to you? What does that mean to you?
So to me, I feel like that means a woman who knows who she is and understands her worth.
Okay. So knows who she is. So how does a woman or someone that may feel as if they don't know themselves just yet, or they haven't found who they really are, how do you get to the point of really knowing yourself?
That's a good question. I would say first thing is, if you feel like you're changing in life and you're at a point where you don't feel like you fully just know yourself, like, it's okay. Like, that happens to everybody.
Right.
At random stages in life. Like, you feel like you know yourself at 16 and then you turn in your 20s and you gotta rethink things.
Yeah.
And then you get in your later 20s and you rethink things. And I'm sure it'll happen a few more times. But knowing yourself is like knowing that you need that space to reevaluate things, mm-hmm. think about, you know, where you want to be, what your goals are, and taking time to just like really focus in on that.
Right.
So you don't really necessarily have to be in that space where you know everything about yourself, but at least to know, like, okay, I need some time for myself to like get to where I want to be.
Exactly. I agree with that. And another reason why I really agree with, you know, with the concept of knowing yourself is these days it's like a cliche, you know, it's like know yourself. But truly, it's like really you need to know yourself, because how can you share yourself with anybody else, whether it's family or friends or loved ones or coworkers, and to get things done together and to create relationships and unions, you have to know yourself before you can even share a lot of that with anybody else. If you know that it irritates you for somebody to leave the cap off of the toothpaste, then you know that that may be an issue for you, you know, so you can share that with whoever you, you know, whatever that situation may be. But that's just a simple, you know, example, but it's bigger than that. So I really do think that you need to know yourself and what makes you tick, you know, like what annoys you, what gets you excited. You got to know all of these things about you yourself. So you got to look at yourself and evaluate yourself, like you mentioned, and usually that does happen when you are independent and one, you know. Yeah. And that's why oneness is just as important as being in union with someone. Like I mentioned, you know, you have to know what you're giving, you know, when you're doing that.
I totally agree.
My definition of a virtuous woman would pretty much be, like I mentioned in the intro, someone who's righteous, someone who's good, someone who's pure, someone who's raw. The term raw could be misconstrued, when what it really means is, if you look up the definition of raw, I don't know what Webster's definition is, but raw, when I think about raw, I think of like something that's like, say, raw meat.
Yeah.
Like, that meat is not even tampered with yet.
I see, yeah.
Anything. So that's what I really mean when I say raw. So it's more like pure. So, and I believe that virtuous women are filled with just a bunch of soul. I really feel that. So that's my definitions of a virtuous woman, because, you know, being righteous as far as, you know, doing the right thing. You know, doing what we know is right. You know, we're at an age, whether you're spiritual or not spiritual, you know, when you do certain things, that it's either wrong or right. You know, it's just something in you that convicts you if it's wrong. So I think being a righteous person, you know, being a good person, being good to people, being honest to people, just, you know, all around just sharing kindness and love and respect with people, you reap all of the things that you're sowing into your loved ones, into the community, into your brothers and sisters. Being pure, that goes back to being honest and truthful and faithful to people and situations, you know. I mean, these are just fleshly bodies. We can watch what we eat and we can, you know, drink water and we can do all of this, but it's just a fleshly body. Like, we really have to feed our spirits. Yes, you know, so we really need to be sure that our spirits are righteous, our spirits is good, our spirit is pure, our spirit is raw. You know, our spirit is filled with the soul that we get from the spirit, you know? So I think that that's what's most important, is the spirit and not necessarily the actual body. But anyway, so that's what my take is on a virtuous woman. And so you also mentioned understanding your worth.
Yes.
So what does that mean?
So to me, that means understanding what you bring to the table, knowing what skill set you have, or things you're working on to get better at. So whether you apply that to your job, family relationships, or just a significant other, understanding what you bring to the table, what you will and will not put up with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Basically that.
Got it, got it. Okay, yeah, so I think I agree. It's, you know, understanding your worth. Like you said, you know, figure out what you're willing to put up, what you're willing to put up with. Because in this life, it's like, come on, we have to compromise. You know, we have to make some compromises with certain things. But, you know, it needs to be a compromise that you're comfortable with and that you feel that is beneficial to you.
That's very true.
That's just how we were talking about if when a woman is cheated on, you know, like tell that story, like how you feel about that.
Well, for one, I think, you know, 10, 20 years ago when stuff happened in a relationship, it was kind of kept in the relationship. Whereas now we have social media and like, don't let you be a celebrity. But it's going to be all over the place.
And like they're not real people. Right. You know, like it's not real to them.
It could literally be something like they looked at this girl or sent her a text. And like with social media, like they will run with it. But 10, 20 years ago, there was not a social media just all in the way making things bigger than what they are. Which cheating is big, you know, it is wrong if you have a commitment with someone. But I think people were a little bit more realistic back in the day. I mean, you invested a lot of time. A lot of people have families. And you're just not going to be like, oh, you cheated on me. Well, bye. Like, pack your stuff. Right. Like, but that's the impression that we get from the culture today.
Right.
Like,
right.
Someone cheated on you, like, why are you still with them? Versus, like, okay, well, that actually happens in marriages. And the first thing that you do is not to go run and get a divorce, but to try and work that out. And so.
Right. I agree. And like she mentioned, we are not condoning cheating. That is not okay. It's not righteous. You know, I don't think anyone should cheat on their significant other because when you, you know, make a covenant with one another, that you know, you're a husband and wife or significant others amongst one another. So whether it's common law marriage, whether you went to the church and got married, whether you went to the courthouse and got married, whatever you did, if you just stood in your house with God in your presence and you said that you and this significant other is making, you know, a covenant with one another to love and respect each other and, you know, yada, yada, yada with the vows.
Right. Well, and I agree with that because I was listening to something a while back and it said like a covenant is built off of love, whereas a contract is built off of trust. So you can't go into a marriage or something like that where you're thinking about it like, well, I'll just, you know, be faithful after I get this ring and after we set our vows. Like, you're not signing the contract. Yeah, like it's literally a covenant, like what you were saying. And that built on love and a commitment. And so with that commitment, I think, you know, we're human. People will make mistakes. And with that commitment, you're supposed to try and help each other build from that versus giving up and just throwing in the towel right then and there. You know, it seems like in the culture, when a guy cheats, the female is more willing to be understanding, kind of say, okay, I'll give you a second chance. Like, we can try this again. But I'm sure we all watch, like, Insecure, and that was, like, a perfect example of what happens for a lot of us. And if a female cheats, then, like, the guy, like, I can't do this. That's enough. Like, whereas... Mm. You know, why are we not given the second chance? Why do you feel that is?
Why do I feel that is? Well, first of all, brothers, they're selfish.
Yeah, they are
so selfish. Everybody has a bit of selfishness to themselves. Even us, even myself, you know, I'm not exempt from anything that we're talking about. But they don't want anyone else to have what they have. You know, it's like... Last episode, I was talking about being given leftovers. And, I mean, what brother you know really like leftovers? I mean, you know, a brother don't, you know, he don't want nothing after nobody else. I can understand it, but I don't know. What's your take on it? Because, personally, I wouldn't be in a situation like that. I wouldn't do anything like that. Like, if I felt like I was going to be tempted to do that, I would end whatever I have with whatever, whoever, whomever I would be cheating on. I just wouldn't. I just couldn't bring myself to cheat on anybody. Like, I just couldn't do it. Like, before I do that, I'm gonna, like, pull myself out of the situation. And then, if I'm married, then, I mean, that's without a doubt. Like, I'm not even, once I'm married, I'm not even gonna look at nobody else. You know, like, I'm not even looking at nobody else. I know it may not be the same for men. Some men, you know, they may. If you guys are in the store, if you're out and a sister with a big ass and a nice shape pass by and he checking her out, like, you probably checking her out too. So what is wrong with him checking her out? Like, at the end of the day, my sister, he's going home with you. And he's gonna be there with you. If you and, you know, if you and this particular person has this understanding of one another and that your union is a pure and true union, you know, like, if you just know that, then why would you, you know, put any kind of insecurity within, you know, your union? You know, you have to know, like, if you have to second guess someone, like, if you feel like you can't trust someone, then there's really no reason a point of you being with them. Because if you can't trust that person, you know, how could you succeed in your union if you don't trust that person? You know, you always worrying. You know, you're not even living a life in a relationship. You living a worried life in a relationship. And then if you're gonna choose to be with someone that you don't trust, you might as well just act like you trust them, because if you're gonna be in it, then just act like you don't know and enjoy the part that he's giving you, you know, and enjoy the side of him that he's giving you if you're gonna choose to be around it and stick with it. Now, I'm talking about, this is like prior to marriage. This is not, right. We're not in a marriage at this point.
Right. And I think that goes back to the whole point of, like, understanding your worth, like you said, before marriage. Because sometimes you understand exactly what you bring to the table, but due to the fact that, like, you want someone there and you want the male companionship, like, you may entertain someone that you know is not really good for you. And so you may not trust them. And I'm not saying that, like, you should move forward with it, but there are females who, like, are always second guessing someone that they're talking to, but for whatever reason, they are still around. Yes.
Yeah.
Which could be for physical reasons or whatever.
Which is most likely always the case, is that physical, intimate interaction that everybody tries to hold on to. This is a perfect segue. We gotta get into it. We about to jump into it. It's about to get real. But before we jump into the next segment or the next topic that we want to discuss here on Just Virtuous Women, episode 3, I want to throw a mix out there, a mix of some virtuous soul sisters. So, Pete.
Oh, what could show the world how to smile? I could be glad all of the while. I could change the gray skies to blue if I had you. If I had you by my side, baby, I could leave the old days behind. Leave all my pals, I'd never mind. I could start my life.
Clearly, I am not a fat
had
ass.
You.
I am active brain and lip smacking peach deep. Sometimes so aggressive in its honesty and heart sweet that loves wholly and completely whom it may choose, whomever it may choose. I am not gonna lie and pacify. I am arms to hold. I am lips to speak. I am a motherfucking G. Strong legs that stroll off the 33 bus or out of a money green phantom comfortably. Knees that bend to pray, clean from Ajax washings. Hair that is thick and soft. Thighs that betwixt an amazing all expense grand prize. I am eyes that sing, smile that brightens, touch that rings and supplies euphoric release. I am a grand dame queen beast. I am warm, I am peace. From the roads of Botswana, from 23rd Street, from the inside, third eye, ever watching the this wicked, wicked system of things I do see.
I am friend.
With a daydream, working on a maybe, focusing on being there, standing in the mirror striking poses for the camera in her mind, keeping all the doubt behind her. She's on a golden path, laying every brick as she goes, and it's only her who knows that her purpose is a real truth. She's not afraid that she'll lose, cause there's no such thing when you're doing something special. More or less, she just feels equal, listening to beats in her headphones. She writes everywhere she goes, on napkins and paper bags. See, words are her birthright. Sometimes she stays up all night cause the frequencies are clear. She intends to be the difference that she wants to hear. She makes it clear that she's not the property or commodity for some brother with a big chain. She's got real game, not tricks. Slick and quick, watching no one but herself. Inspired by everything, so her cards are dealt in a way that she can handle. No brainwash or scandal. She's more than a desire and everything they need. She's a queen, walking in the light on the hill towards her horizon. Sharing her ism, she knows who she is. Brainwash or scandal. She's more than a desire and everything they need. She's a queen, walking in the light on the hill towards her horizon. Sharing her ism, she knows who she is and it's a good thing. She's prepared for the opportunity of success. She's truly blessed and you can hear it.
Shaka Khan. Run. I like to do this song by my favorite singer, Shaka Khan. I was gonna do it at the Soul Train Award, but I was scared. Yeah. So y'all give me some energy, all right?
Wow.
Yo, so that was Toonie's first DJ set. So yeah, so we kicked it off with If I Had You by Dinah Washington. Then we went into Woman Manifesto, Jill Scott, Jilly from Philly. We went into some Sade, Nothing Can Come Between Us. Then we flipped it. We went to Go Get It by the Flowesses, a Flow. Then we crawled into a little bit of Rufus and Chaka Khan, Stay. And then we flipped that and went to Erykah Badu, who covered Rufus and Chaka Khan's Stay. Then backdoor into Mad Love, Hill Saint Soul. And then we set it off with Nights Over Egypt by the Jones Girls. Y'all dig that? Y'all dig that mix? That's a dope lineup of soul sisters. So just be sure to check the website under the playlist tab. I'm going to post a playlist with all the tunes that are played on the podcast episodes. So that's virtuousoptimist.com/playlist with an S on it. And that's virtuousoptimist.com/playlists. All right, so since we going there, so we done went into these physical, intimate interactions that we have with person of the time, I guess. You know, a lot of times it's called situationships, you know, because it's really, you don't really know, he don't really know.
It's you just enjoying what y'all have.
All in a moment until you realize that that moment has been going on for 6 or 7 years.
Not years.
Right? You know, so with that being said, have you ever experienced that? You know, where you had this physical interaction with someone and it's gone on longer than you expected it to go, and it's getting to a place of where it seems like it's growing, you know, where you're just stagnant and you're just doing the same thing. Like, have you experienced that before?
So, yes, I have. You know, I think we've had this conversation before where you are just really content with the way things are because you kind of tell yourself you don't exactly want or necessarily need anything more at that moment. And so this person is there comforting you in the way that you feel that you need at that moment. So. Right.
Which is the downfall.
Right. And so I definitely have talked to someone before where, you know, it's just more of a physical thing between us. And the sad thing about it is it gets to the point where you tell yourself, like, this is what you want. But in the long term, like, you know you want something more. You know you want marriage and everything. And so what happened with me in that situation is we had the physical needs met between us, but there was obviously someone that he knew all along that he wanted as, like, his wife and the mother of his children. So it was kind of like, I wouldn't even really say disappointing, but just kind of like a little degrading. Like, if I feel that we have this connection and this has gone on for longer than what it should have, but at the end of the day, like, they still have that person in mind. So the sex is just not, you know, like, it's only a small percentage. The bigger percentage is what you have with that person, right? Emotionally,
right? How you communicate with one another, right? How you, how you make each other feel outside of that intimate connection that you have through sex. So, okay, we've all had those situations. I mean, a number of my sisters, I know you've been in those situationships where physical needs were being met. And then after a while, well, I can only speak for myself, but after a while, it's like, well, dang, you know, like, if I keep doing the same thing, I'm going to keep getting the same results, right? You know, so, you know, do what you always done, you get what you always got. Right, so how do I make a change? You know, so I got to make a change. What's the change that you would make? The big C. Celibacy is, you know, what I've chosen for myself. I have been celibate for going on 6 years. Probably working on the 7th year, I've been celibate, and it's been great. I mean, celibacy blues is there for sure. Like,
it happens.
You know, yeah, like, yeah, of course. I've never been so blessed. I've never been so highly favored. It's just amazing. I'm filled with joy and peace and happiness. You know, I'm not ill. You know, I'm not depressed. I'm not sad.
You're probably so fulfilled with yourself right now.
Yeah. So, you know, I encourage people or my sisters to be, and my brothers to be celibate, but I'm not forcing anyone to choose that route, because that route may not be for you. I mean, you know, you have to choose the decision for yourself.
I definitely feel like you have to personally be ready for
it. Yeah.
To speak a little bit about myself, I went through the celibacy phase a couple of years ago, where I did that like a year and some change, and my reason behind it at that point in time was just strictly religious reasons. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, you know, it's not right. The Bible says that you're supposed to wait. And mm-hmm. so that was my main focus. And I don't know if I had some subconscious thought that from waiting, I would be blessed with the right person. Mm-hmm. But somewhere along the lines, I was just like, okay, you know, I just fell into, I guess, the temptation. Like, we'll always be tempted throughout the process, but having that end goal is what will keep you going. And so for me, you know, I kind of stopped it for a while. Got back into these situationships that really had no meaning to them. And the further along I got, the further along I was kind of like, what am I doing? And so I decided to try the celibacy role a second time around. But this time my mindset was completely different. Mm-hmm. This time I was like, I'm just tired of dealing with guys with just coming at you with this BS. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, they're getting what they want, mm-hmm. fulfilled with the just sexual needs or whatever. And at the end of the day, I wanted more than that. I wanted, like, the commitment that would lead to marriage and a family.
Right.
I still ended up being back at square one. Right. And I was like, something has to change. That has been my second journey on that. And that has been, even though it does have that spiritual aspect to it, I think the bigger picture for me this time around is just that, why would I let you get to know that intimate part of me when there's no guarantee that you even gonna stick around? And exactly. I don't need it that bad enough.
Exactly. Right. Well, to go back a little bit, you talked about temptation, you know, and how there will be temptation and stuff like that. And I think I told you this before. It's like, you know, you have to just try to avoid certain temptations. You know, when that time when you're by yourself, like you really, really, really learn yourself. So you know what it's like. Everybody have thoughts. I'm telling you. So you know that if you end up alone with that brother, so don't put yourself in that situation if you know that that's not, you know, your goal.
And I think that's another thing that we talked about before, was just that a lot of people say, well, if you're celibate and you are trying to be celibate until marriage, like, how do you know if it's going to be good whenever you are married?
But the fact is, I'm so glad you bring that up.
We are not cars. We don't have to be test driven.
Yeah, right.
If you're a female and you're talking to a male, like, you are compatible in the sense, like, you will be attracted to one another.
Right. You was attracted enough to even stop and talk to one another.
So you don't have to, like, try it out. You know, like, it will work. So yeah. that's not even something that should be in your mind, like whether this can work. It will. Right.
Let me add to that. Because, you know, I've done surveys on the brothers. You know, I've done these surveys. You know, I've gotten how you expect somebody to marry you when they never felt you. I've gotten also is, what if it's whack? You know, what if once you marry, it's whack and now you stuck with this person? Addressing the first one is, how do you expect someone to marry you when they've never felt you yet? Why should that even matter at that point? You know, like, that's not what matters. You know,
right.
It's the heart and the soul of that person and what you really, really love about that person. What makes that person beautiful in your eyes? The sex is just a bonus. You know, so the sex in this is always just a bonus to what you already have. You know, so you build on the important stuff and then you get your bonus in the end. And then that way it's like, okay, so you've learned this person inside and out, outside of a sexual relationship or a sexual connection. So you two have this connection with one another. So just imagine the connection and the passion and the love that's gonna flow out of both of you when you really connect emotion, you know, like intimately and in that way, you know. So it's like a whole different ballpark. I'm telling you, if the kids are listening, cover the kids' ears. But I'm telling you, once you get married to someone who's been celibate and who's been waiting for their husband, it's no way that sex is going to be whack. I'm telling you. I mean, my take on it being whack is, like, I go back to, like, the two versions, you know. Both of them ain't never done this before. They meet each other, they decide to do it. So you ain't know nothing, she didn't know nothing. So what y'all did? Y'all taught each other what each other loved or what each other liked or what was pleasurable to you. So that would be the same thing. If you marry a woman and you feel like you're connected with her through everything else, but you've gotten married to her and on that honeymoon, you figured out that it was kind of whack. So what you have to do, because you in this, brother, you are in this. So what you have to do is you have to teach her what you like, you know, or vice versa. Teach him what you like, you know. You're still learning and growing one another, because like I said, you in another ballpark at this point. So it's a whole new learning process that you have to do with your significant other, because that's just how it was meant to be. But see, we try to skip steps. We try to do it different ways and stuff, but it's all about growing and learning one another. And like going back to those couples back in the day, the ones that's still together today, the ones that died together, the ones that one passed this week and then the next one passed the next week because they couldn't live without the other one, they waited to have sex.
That's the way I feel God intended sex to be. God created sex for us to enjoy that within the context of marriage.
Right.
Sex is intoxicating. When it's not within the confines of marriage, it can be more destructive than a beautiful situation. And, you know, when you have sex before marriage, it kind of blinds you into having correct thoughts about what you're doing.
Right.
It's almost like you put on, like, these drunk driving glasses. Like, you're not thinking correctly, you know. It's clouding your thoughts. You know, the sex feels great. And so you're looking past all these things that are, you know, probably not the best for you. And vice versa. And it's really comparable to if you are thinking about buying a house versus renting, and you're like, well, I have this important decision, so let me go get drunk first, and then I'm gonna make the decision. Like,
right.
It makes no sense.
Right. Dope explanation. I dig it. I definitely dig it. It does not make sense.
And another thing about sex, I hate when guys and girls are just like, oh, no, like, I don't like them like that. It's just a physical thing. Like, that's just all that we're doing. But like you said before, we are just a fleshly body with a soul inside. So there is no way that you can have sex where it's just physical. Like, it is definitely a spiritual part to it.
That's what we have to share about our experiences. And I do want to add, is a second, you know, reason why I did choose celibacy is spirituality. My whole celibacy journey is pretty much a testament of how much of a God-fearing person I am. It just goes back to the point of, like I said, like I'm extremely blessed. Like things have changed in my life for me, you know, ever since I've chosen to this way of life. You know, I feel like if for whatever reason I do give in to temptation, I'm so fearful that I will lose my peace. I'm so fearful that I will lose my blessings. I'm so fearful that I'll lose my favor with God if I make a decision to pleasure myself for like 10 minutes. You know, so it's like 6-7 years worth of major blessings for 10 minutes of not even, I mean, you probably won't even be pleased in the end. No. You know, so like I just choose, you know, I choose to resist temptation, and I work on it as much as I can. I'm not without sin. You know, I just choose to not have sex. You know, so I can wake up and have a thought and I'm sinning, you know. So just because I choose not to have sex doesn't make me any better than you, because you do choose to have sex. You know, we're two different people in two different stages of our lives and on two different journeys. So whether you choose to, you know, try this way of living or not, you know, it's your choice. You know, our sins, that is no greater sin. You know, God has no respect of a man, so my sins are no less than yours, and yours are no greater than mine, and vice versa. You know, what I will say for the ladies though, if you out there doing your thing, make sure your panties and your bras match. Your panty and your bra match. They gotta match. You know, if you're doing your thing, just be sure and be safe. You know, be safe. Do it. You know, we get blind. You know, we get really, really blind. And we think certain things, you know, within those intimate situations mean that we special. But that don't mean you special. You better always just remember, keep yourself first when you going in these situations, my sisters. But for my sisters that, you know, is either thinking, have thought about being celibate, you know, like I said, you know, I'm not perfect. I'm just like you. I live in flesh just like you. So, you know, it is difficult sometimes. And if you want my advice of how to be in a relationship being celibate, I don't know, because I've never experienced it. So I can't tell you that part, because I haven't reached that part of my journey. All I know is that at this point, I'm learning myself, and I know what I want and what my standard, that in particular is my standard. And however God chooses to help me and my significant other, however he chooses to help us through that process to get to the point of getting married, then I'm going to leave that up to God, because I can't say how to do it. I don't know how to do it. As far as I know, it's difficult, you know, like it's really difficult being in a relationship and being celibate.
As far as I know, it takes God.
You know, so it's difficult. You know, it's difficult, especially if, you know, you got a brother that really, really love you, but he just, like, he can't really go without sex, you know? So right. What do you do in that situation? What I do in that situation is that means that I'm not the person for him. I can't continue to go looking for what I think is what's good for me or what's God's will for me. I just have to let God do what he does and you know, send the right person to me and just pray that God is, you know, teaches me to accept whatever it is that's supposed to be for me, and, you know, whatever shape, size, form it comes in. You know, I have to be able to accept whatever God sends to me. So that is my prayer. That's my prayer.
I think, you know, you just need to continue to focus on yourself. Get yourself to the level that you want to be at. And if you have that trust in God, then you have to really trust that he knows your heart and know what you want, and that he will provide that for you. So you don't have to feel like, well, I need to compromise on celibacy because there is no one that's going to agree with that. Like, right. The right person will come around and will understand and will
And what you should want is for him to have that relationship with God too, where that's what he's looking for as well. So it wouldn't be any compromising on that aspect, but more of building one another up and helping each other to do better.
And so we pretty much brought it back to where we started, was helping each other be better and being one with one another. And that's all, folks. Nah, I'm just playing. You know I had to say the best for last. Pete.
Yo, what up? My name is Crystal Dooms. I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana. I just want to thank Chaps for allowing me to take space up on her podcast to bring y'all some good music. This song, Old School, which is one of my favorites, and hers too. She just don't want to admit it right now. You know, it's about love. It's about God letting me find that love back in the day for him. Man, it's just a vibe. You know, back in the day, we showed more love than we do today. You know, memories. You know, for me, I love to remember. It's crazy. How I think no one is fun as you. It's crazy, baby. No other guy can do me like you do. It's crazy. Now I'm thinking about you at old school lately. So what happened to my old, yeah, old school wood grain Cadillac fifth wheel swinging, listening to that old school Kenny Ray, Betty Wright whopping out my system. I remember brown sugar days, finger waves, women calling other women sister. Yeah, back in the day they used to play. I think of you when I listen to that old school. So the next song, Change, which is really the biggest part of my testimony. Just give it a listen and check it out.
Cause I found the boys making noise, I'm proud of that. No running back, wanna love me now. And I never met another man like you, and I'm not gonna change my mind. Cause I told you it was over, don't be coming over, barely so, trying to waste my time. I'm changing for the better, Had to get my life together. Had to get my life together. Stop calling, calling me. Trying to bring up all stuff. Stop calling me. Trying to get back that love. Give up.
It's just about challenges, breaking them, and getting over bad habits and not letting the devil pressure you to stay when you know you don't belong there. Like, share. I'm on every social media. CHRYSTALDOOMES. You understand? Get at me. I got a lot more projects I'm working on. And I would love to hear some feedback and get some fans. Let y'all hear some great poetry, some great music. Y'all stay blessed. Everybody stick together. Taz, thank you. And I'm out.
What may be good for you may not be good for myself. My friends will say that I'm ruthless. Top of the game is my throne. They call me, can't get right.
Crystal Dooms, everybody. In her voice, like, immaculate. She's super dope. I really dig Crystal. So I was in Lafayette probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I was networking, and I went to Seven Stitches out there in Lafayette, and I met the owner, BG. So telling him about the podcast and how it's about timeless tunes and upcoming artists and all that. So he's like, man, well, listen to this chick, you know, she killing it on this song. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna listen to it. So he played it at the boutique. And I'm like, wait, I need her contact information. How do I get in touch with this sister? I mean, like, she is, like, amazing. And not only does she sing, she's a songwriter. She's a writer. You know, she's a poet, you know, so we gave y'all a sample, so y'all got to do the rest and go find her. On social media, she's on SoundCloud, Crystal Dooms, like she said, and all social medias. But yeah, stay tuned. You know, this is only the beginning. You know, this is only the beginning. So yeah, me and Crystal definitely going to sit down for an interview in the near future. Yeah, but be on the lookout for any and everything she has to offer to the world. She's a great artist, a great artist. All praise to the Most High for this gift, peace, and love. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening in with us. Keep us on iTunes and Stitcher. Also, you can get to us on our website, Twitter, SoundCloud, Facebook, and Instagram. Peace. All rights reserved to the artists of the tunes played here on Virtuous Optimist Podcast. Shed light, shed light, shed light, shed light, shed light, shed light.